now beaming into Nerd FT Radio.
This is Nerd FT Radio, where nerds full-time, explorers of the metaverse, surfers of the blockchain, and not in our mom's basement. I'm your host, RSGAK, the highlighter. Let's go with that. And I'm here with Crypto Crier, aka the match seller. Crier.
Oh, baby.
We're pumping.
Amping up.
Yeah, I sold a boatload of these, and because of that, you now see me in my new pump outfit. So whenever things pump, I will be wearing my Adidas. I don't know the collab. What is it? Adidas, Punks, G-Money, and Apes, a hoodie that I bought that came with a $60 tag when I first got it, when it was told it was exclusive. Thank you, Adidas, for letting me know that it was only $60. And the NFT I bought was like a couple hundred dollars. Thank you so much.
Nailed it.
But what do we got here, Crier? We got awesome things to talk about. Sure. Actually, we got some awesome things and we have some not awesome things. Let's actually start on the bad side first, which is one on your alley, of course, and it's DAOs and what's going on. So if I'm not mistaken, MakerDAO has been making some rumbles in the last few days. It ain't looking good, Crier, because obviously when you think about DAOs, you think about crypto overall, you think of it being decentralized. We're not centralized. We're doing things a different way. And unfortunately, what has happened?
Yeah, so looks like the High Court of England ordered High Court of England and Wales ordered Oasis.app, which is pretty much the front end of Maker and how you open up vaults with them, has done a counter exploit with Jump Crypto. And if you remember, Jump Crypto was the company that paid out the insurance of, or like to protect the Solana wormhole. So this is in regards to the Solana wormhole exploit that was 321 million. They just pretty much counter exploited them, which essentially is they stole it back with the use of obviously not decentralization, because they're able to control the money. Their little team stated that the Oasis multisig and court authorized third party were able to seize 120,000 staked ETH and 3,213 Rocket ETH on February 21st and placed the wallets under Jump Crypto's control. The hacker had around 78 million in debt to the MakerDAO also, which was also retrieved. So pretty much wiped them all out of all the money they had stolen. But it leads to the larger idea of, if the whole thing is, why are these not decentralized? Why are they able to access these through a multi-sig function? Due to, this is probably something that will be happening a lot more in the future. They'll just, people will be like, the court told us to, we don't have anything to say. So if it's actually decentralized and actually run by a group of people, you have to choose whether these are open to interpretation by the law or where you're placed. If these are in the US, Maker is like a US company. Any of these ones that are in the US are pretty much done, right? So like they're able to be exploited or not exploited. They're not decentralized. They're able to multi-sig money out from there. And then now that there's a precedent set from the High Court of England, it will probably happen a lot more in the future. This is
another government from doing it.
Exactly. This is now they're calling it counter exploit season is coming. So all these stolen funds will be reversed to the original people, which, I mean, is good. But at the same time, it's like the whole point of this is the risk is there. And it's that Wild West approach of, is this deemed, who has the authority over these things
to make that to make that call, right? Because a lot of people can also probably manipulate that, saying, oh, this happened, whatever happened,
exactly,
and like, things get a little funky.
And the whole entire point of crypto is that it is not able to be changed. I do see, and there was already things like this, like blacklist. USDC has blacklists. If they get money stolen from smart contracts, they can freeze those in accounts. And that's one of the reasons that I recommended using DAI in a previous thing. But now I held no difference in DAI versus USD versus anything else, because again, they're just can be targeted by a court to say these assets are frozen. So I do think that on my side, I see mostly negative coming from this. I think it will be abused in the future. I think some of the hack money will come back. But again, like who gets all this money properly owned by them. So Jump, pretty much how it worked originally was $321 million got exploited on Solana wormhole. And that was all on ETH. Jump Crypto put up all of that money and said, we're going to back those funds 100%. Like a couple days after the hack, everyone was panicking. They've backed it fully. Now they're getting all their money back from this thing. I just see it being the price differences between these tokens now and then. How much money, how much more tokens are they getting if there is? What deems this legal or, I don't know, it's just it's a huge gray area. This is the first time it's ever happened. And it's a little bit of a disaster. Why Jump Crypto receiving all of the money? They just put it directly in their control when it was not them that got hacked. They were just the ones who funded the reimbursement of the original hack on Solana. I do see this as making sure everyone gets their money properly. I don't know if that's going to be happening. We don't know what is going to happen, but apparently it was Jump Crypto and that was High Court of England that came to the conclusion that this was something that they were forced them to do. So again, it's a bit of a mess on my side.
No, yeah, it seems complicated, but at the end of the day, for to make it as easy as possible to understand, if I'm not mistaken, I could be completely wrong here. You tell me. So I'm going to dumb it down for my smooth brain brotherins and sisterins over on our side, right?
Yeah.
So Cryer, he can go full in detail for you guys. So this individual hack happens. All the money's obviously in a wallet somewhere. They interacted with the DAO, MakerDAO. And because they interacted, they were able to pretty much grab the coins from that wallet back into MakerDAO on their contract, correct? So it's because they interacted with that contract that they had access to then grab the assets back to them, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, if they hadn't done any, if they didn't access Oasis, they didn't have all that Ethereum staked and all this stuff to make interest on their stolen funds, they wouldn't have been able to do this. So the only reason that the access was there was the sole intention to protect user assets in the event of any potential hack. We would have allowed us to move quickly to patch any vulnerability disclosed to us. It should be noted that at no point in the past or present have user assets been at risk of being accessed by any unauthorized third party. So apparently they're saying that this was only due to a unknown vulnerability in design of the admin of the multisig access, which sounds like just like a backdoor. This could have been used for negative connotations as well.
We saw that with FTX, right?
Yeah. So
it's able to grab everything.
Exactly. So there's, I think, again, it's no single entity should have the power to do this. And I think that a lot of these decentralized finance protocols will end up coming under a lot of hail and gunfire soon, just because there's probably a lot of this stuff with backdoors, a lot of things that they can actually get access to. And again, we'll see what actually happens. Is now everyone's just going to fire out court orders to get their money retrieved to all these protocols. And we're going to see which ones actually don't agree with the courts and follow through. And those are the ones I'm going to support personally. I think something like Alchemix, if they had money sent to them or a court order, I don't think they would agree with it. So,
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah,
Cryer, do you see this coming into the NFT space on the set of assets, Bored Apes?
I think it's a whole different ball game just because it's more of these are from very intricate smart contracts, more so than NFTs are just like mint. The person who has access control of, especially Bored Apes, those are frozen contracts. I don't think anyone can come back and take those assets back. It's a little bit different function. I would say this one's going to be a pooled aspect. Like you do put your apes and stuff, like stuff with staking stuff. I could see like the like a Doodles contract that has all the stake Doodles for the space Doodles. Like that could literally be something that could come along those lines if there is accessibility to them. Or I guess apes doesn't really do that because they have like a safety deposit box where your ape is more act like a key essentially. So that's a little bit different. They don't actually hold them. So anything that actually is holding them in a centralized way could probably have some issues with this.
Okay.
But yeah, if you're not staking them or not doing that along the lines, because essentially the hackers would have been not a problem if they weren't trying to get additional yield off of these things.
I feel like if you're the hacker, what an idiot. Like, you are, like, that just blows my mind. You really,
$300 million and you had to also stake it for more yield.
Like, you could have just taken it, cashed out, done whatever you had to do, and you would be fine for the rest of your life. That person at Hacker's Kids of Kids would have been fine. And he's like, you know what?
Get a little extra out of this.
Let me get a couple more ETH on the staking side. So, by the way,
realistically, that money is all pretty much tainted to shit. Like, anyone that tries to move it, it's one of the largest known hacks. It was one of the highest amounts, too. Like, $320 million was third highest, I think, or something like that. Because I know the Axie one was like $500 or something like that. It was definitely one of the largest hacks. Wall is definitely watched and followed.
Oh, yeah. Waiting for something.
But again, it's just crazy to me that it's like you had to get the extra on there.
A little bit more, bro. Just a little bit
extra.
Every 0.01 ETH counts. All right. That's what I've learned. Do you remember when the Axie hack happened? Who was that individual that like saw it like a week before everyone else, tried to play on it, and just
Kobe shorted the shit out of it and then got liquidated because no one found the hack for a week.
He's like, bro, come on. And then it tanks afterwards. Like,
instead of telling people that, yo, this has been a possible exploited. Yeah, they couldn't. I can't believe they didn't find it for a week. But yeah, he got liquidated on after it pumped. The week while it was already exploited, which is hilarious.
That's insane. But again, back to what you were saying prior to it, on the side of what crypto means for a lot of people. Again, even let's just talk about yourself on the decentralized aspect of it. And when things like this happen, it just brings back to the whole centralized format that we've already known for the last 200 years. So that's what we're trying to get away from. And to see these things for a lot of people, it's upsetting. But again, for others, like you said, we went back and forth a little bit. You see somewhat of the positive light of it, but still it feels like, what's going on here? Which could then lead to, like you said, a lot more eyeballs on a lot of more of these companies. Because wait a minute, you're telling me that all these companies have access to just do that? That doesn't seem right, or doesn't seem right for their ethics and whatnot. But
yeah, and again, it says it was like an exploit that was unknown or whatever. But I feel like that's just feels
you have
odd
to know.
That it's
like you'd have to know to, come on, get out of here.
You have access to these funds and whatever. And either way, if other companies have this, I'm sure so many companies copy the maker's contracts as well. So I'm sure that's very similar.
You're like, oh, we have that too? Wow, didn't know that. It's not like we rented it or anything and figured it out before. Ah.
Yeah, I'm sure they didn't. They probably actually didn't read it. And that's the thing. Now they actually like, oh, now we can steal all this. Now we'll see this exploits happening on that side where people are like, oh shit, I copied the MakerDAO contract with me.
And they're not successful and only a few people did. And they're like, let me grab this. Peace out.
No, but I just think it's something that, again, we'll see just a lot more people trying to go the route of trying to get their assets back.
Oh yeah.
Either class actions or suits against them or the possible hackers. They're not ever found really. Again, if you can get access to their money and freeze them and that's the whole kind of issue with this stuff. Is the whole point of Bitcoin is it's not able to be, that wouldn't be able to happen on Bitcoin. So the more smart contract usage, the more centralized that thing becomes. The less of the intricacies of smart contracts you have, the more decentralized it really is. And it shows anytime that we see stuff like this happen. And again, this is going to open up a lot, I think, with just the law and courts and everything in general to see. Because Maker is probably the largest provider of decentralized stable currency, practically. I'm sure they're coming under a lot of stress and just in general with framework changing on that side, USDC, Circle, all these kind of are coming under a scrutiny of, are you able to issue stable coins, all this stuff. So again, it's just another one of these things where stable coins are less likely to survive, I think, from a non-government issued standpoint. And that's why you keep the asset. Like, I'm mostly Ethereum or mostly Bitcoin because of these things, again.
It's crazy. Hey, listen, never a dull day. Sometimes we say, you and I come on here and we're like, hey, it's a boring week in the NFT space and overall crypto. But to be honest, man, there's so many things that happen. Like every
It's just we didn't do enough research to
That's you probably. We were too you were too busy playing Hogwarts and I was too busy getting to 99 woodcutting is what's going on the RuneScape side. So by the way, update on the RuneScape side, we are at 85. We're almost there. 15 more levels and your boy is at 99 woodcutting. Let's turn it over on the side of the NFT.
Harry Potter also that were.
100% or just beat it?
No, just like the main story. Just I got a bunch it? More to do, but the actual okay. ending for the main story was awesome. Yeah, really good. Yeah, it was awesome. Oh, such a good awesome. Game.
I'm definitely getting it. I'm also very. So what's going on this for me, at least I'll share a little bit. Next week on Sunday, I'm getting a brand new car. I'm getting a new Tesla Model 3. This time, no lease. We're owning it, baby. We're owning it. After that, I'll try to see where my cards are at, and I might actually go the route of getting a new PS5. I really want to play The Last of Us and all this. Obviously, Cryer is about to tell me right now, why don't you just play on the laptop? I know, but I just want a PS5, okay? There's a spot right there that's calling for a PS5 in the background. But
all you need is a controller to plug in. You can actually have a bunch of mods on the PC that makes it way better.
All right, you know what? I'll check it out. Let me see what I got on this. I got like, but I have some people telling me to.
Some cool mods we've been talking about. They have going on for them. They have a couple of just like ease of play things. They have
on what?
On Hogwarts. They made it to where you're. They have this one. I would say one of the most annoying things is they have Alohomora as like the unlock and like lock spells. You have to do like a mini game every time you do it, but it's annoying because you're casting a spell. It should just pop open.
Unlocking though, how many?
A lot. There's so many locks. It's crazy. Okay,
then I'd be pissed.
So they made it to where you can just other. It's supposed to be how it is, where you just cast a spell and it unlocks the door, and it makes it so they get rid of that. They have this one. You'll have a full Robin outfit that's like. Like a full DC, very, really cool, like, skin for a bunch of Marvel characters. They
characters
have
and everything.
They have a full dragon overlay for your griffin, for your hippogriff. Instead of having the hippogriff, you have a full Game of Thrones looking dragon. Looks incredible.
Oh, jeez.
There's like a bunch of ones where you can fly your broom into any, not in only walk areas. You can fly it anywhere. So you can just like actually like how it should be.
Wait, you can't fly your broom wherever you wait.
Like, so if you go to Hog Town somewhere. Yeah, exactly. If you go to Hogsmeade or something like that, you can't go into the town with your broom. You have to dismount it and then walk. Now with the mod, I can just fly into the store
wherever the hell you want.
Fly the hell out.
Boom! Just like knock over everything. Just smack it over. By the way, the best mod is still having your broom as Shrek.
Yeah, there's a train one. There's a fighter pilot one now. There's a bunch of good ones.
Wait a minute. That could be interesting.
It's like Top Gun.
That actually would be pretty funny. Tom Cruise.
And the multiplayer one's coming.
That's the one that you're most excited about. I think that'd be pretty cool to see it.
Yeah, play the whole campaign with your friend or something like that. Friend. That's going to be sick.
I feel like the only, like, what games do you remember? Let's just nerd out for a second. What game do you know, or remember, excuse me, that had a good co-op multiplayer, like, campaign? It's Halo. That's it.
That was it.
That's it, right? Like, I'm being serious. I mean, what other? It blows my mind that we haven't
Halo's incredible.
Halo's incredible on the campaign side, and also like Xbox Live, everything like that. Not just obviously next to one another. There's a bunch of those, but like Halo. Like it blows.
I mean, there's some like RPG ones that I think are really good. Like Gauntlet Legends had a really good one.
I never played, so I don't know. It was, like, the other one. Do you remember? Did you ever play a game called Army of Two?
I do remember that one. The little.
You were just
soldiers?
Like, yeah, it was just soldiers, but it was like Call of Duty style. But it was two people.
You switch between like scenes or kind of.
Yeah, you played scenes and whatnot, but like someone always had a riot shield. The other person was behind always. Yeah. Me and Cope Dealer, you'd play online, and the onlines were like 2v2 team deathmatch. And on top of that, the campaign, same exact thing. We need more games like that. Like, I get like the generation now, obviously, they like the battle royale, the quick and easy. Campaign isn't as big. I feel like maybe on the Nintendo side, like Super Mario, Zelda, Metroid.
That was a good one, actually. The Super Mario where you could play with everybody. We could play up to four people, the campaign. That was fun. It was on... There's Rabbids? One on Switch and one on
Rabbids?
Wii U. No, it's just a regular Super Mario 3D or whatever. You can play with up to four people at the same time.
I didn't know that. No,
I used to play with my whole family. Damn. That was awesome.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe I should just start playing more games. Don't let the girlfriend hear that. But
yeah, she's going to be like digging around. Just different games. You're just playing wood cutting over there. Snap all day.
Oh, God.
I've been crushing the Marvel Snap, actually.
Yo, Marvel Snap's good. I'm just stuck and it pisses me off. But all right, besides the nerd stuff, because we do have to keep on going. On the NFT side, the only true thing really that I thought, hey, let's talk about it a little bit. And obviously, coming from your community council member of the Cool Cats over here, I did want to let people know that we're now on journeys 2 on the Fracture side of things. Crier, I know that you've been like somewhat eyeing this and seeing it from outside. So I'm going to talk a little bit about it. And I just want to know like your thought process behind it. I know you made a comment on the video side and everything that they're doing. It's very similar to Cool Man's, which that's not a bad thing because you both of us love that. Cool. So what's going on right now is that you're now able to go into Journeys 2. Remember, you're able to stake if you have a Cool Cat, Cool Pet, Fracture, and you're able to go into these journeys. Very easy journeys. You go to the website, you click on the journey, you go in and you answer a question. And the question is, at the moment, which way should blue is the Cool Cat, the main one, what way should he go, left or right? All you have to do is select it. And then there's an actual like a puzzle that you have to answer. For the people at home that don't know what the heck's going on the puzzle side, if you remember a long time ago, Link's puzzles that he had, we had a Catabet is what it's called. And it's A is like a seashell and B is like a lion, whatever. Grab that. And if you look into the picture of the comic strip, there's little symbols all over the place and it makes a three-letter word and you have to just translate it. If you need help, just send me a DM. I'll help you out. But you go ahead and do that, and that's going to give you extra 300 points for your cool score, which will lead to your fracture leveling up. Right now, there's four levels of the fracture. It's gray. I think it's gray, level one, blue, level two, three is, damn, I'm so wrong on this. Gray is one, red is two, blue is three, and yellow is four. So try to level up as much as possible. The higher that rank is, the better the new PFP of the Cool Cat ecosystem.
Like rarity, or is it?
Will be rarity. Yeah, so if you're leveling up, you're doing your thing, you're going to have a rare...
Gamifying the rarity a little bit.
Yeah, we're gamifying a little bit. We're taking from, obviously, other NFT projects, but that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. We're taking the good. We're looking at the bad. We're like, uh-uh, we ain't doing that. And we're grabbing it, and we're going to figure something out. And people are liking it. A lot of people are enjoying it. Crier, on your side, what do you think, looking from the outside? Are they doing the right thing? Is it more intriguing than all the other nonsense that we've done?
Definitely better than the milk token.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
I haven't been like super in depth. We've seen the videos I've been editing for the quick hitter, the cat, cool cat quick hitters and stuff like that. I think the idea is really cool. It's interactive, like a journey story. I think that's interesting. And they're getting another entry point where people can have cheaper entry points into the ecosystem. I think that's always a good move. Again, that's something very thing. The only thing I would say negatively wise is again, it's just like they don't have any original ideas. I feel like it's always like a copy of someone else's idea that they've already done well with, which is fine. I don't know. I think the ones that actually do well are the ones who make the new idea instead of you're just going to be second fiddle every time. That's my biggest thing.
Oh yeah.
But overall, I do think it's interesting for sure. I just think it's something that we'll watch and see. I think it's good.
I was going to say, the other thing that a lot of people are saying, if you look at those backgrounds of Cooltopia, wherever we are, it's a little similar to the other side. But I've asked the team, they just say, what? And that they just kept saying what to me. So I can't answer, or I can't deny nor say that it's true. But it does look very similar. So we'll see what happens.
Did show them in the other side thing with World of Women and all those. World of Women has been picking up price wise lately too. There could be something coming on with
some people knowing
information on these things.
Yeah, there's always inside information somewhere. The other thing I did want to mention was the Cool Cat team actually just hired a brand new illustrator. Do you remember Ariel Jade? She was part of the Star Catchers. She was the person that drew Star Catchers and whatnot. She just joined the Cool Cat
team. Never got much.
Shout out to them. We had, who was it that just went all in? It was Selk. Selk loves Star Catchers. Yeah, shout out to Selk. Not RIP to Selk. You're not dead or anything, but you just left us. You just left us. And we miss you, Selk. It was a great time with you. But other than that, pretty much ends it on the side of the Cool Cat side. Now, Crier, it's coming up. You're going. It's confirmed. Right, you're going to ETH Denver. Now, are you going and what are you trying to accomplish when you go?
For sure. So ETH Denver, this one is, they have a build week, which is the whole currently going on from I think it's been going on since the 24th. So the event is actually the 24th through the 5th. So it's almost like a long one. So the actual core event is the 2nd through the 5th, which is where I'm going. I've never been personally. I'm extremely excited to go. I'm a huge guy. Obviously. No way. It was the first time I went to go, and I'm really excited about it. I think there's going to be a lot more stuff to do. I think it's the way they do the event is also really cool. It's all in one location. It's like a big warehouse conference type thing, big conference center. And I think it's going to be a lot of just like booths. There's going to be like live podcasting stuff I'm going to try to get in with. A lot of networking opportunities for sure. And it was free to get into if you joined the Spork DAO. So if you,
that's awesome.
What I did. So it's $600 free $600 ticket.
Oh yeah.
Which is huge. So I was really happy about this one because the flights were cheap. I'm staying with somebody. It was cheap. Whole thing's going to cost me a couple hundred bucks. So I'm pretty excited.
Okay. That's awesome. Well, hey, listen, obviously you're going to be repping
some parties already applied to, or
ooh,
free drinks and free food. I'm excited. See,
for the late night stuff, remember, Cryer's not a big drinker guy, so when he starts talking about parties, I get excited. I might have just missed out on one of the best parties of the year. Cryer's getting excited.
Look better than the Frank DeGods party, the DeGods party.
Do we talk about that? Oh, God. Dude, they've been getting ripped on Twitter.
It looks like they're having fun, but that's just not my scene. I'm like, I don't know.
I did that in college, but we're out of there. But hey, like shout out to them. It was pretty funny how Frank answered. He was like, listen, someone said, there's no girls. Couldn't you have just paid some girls to be there? And Frank's like, bro, no girl wants to come to a D-Gods event.
I'm
like,
sesh.
This is, I don't know. It was just weird. You already know my take on that. I think the Utes, the project itself, they look cool. But other than that,
I do agree.
I don't know.
I don't like how D-Gods look at all, but I do agree Utes look really good.
I do not either, but yeah, that pretty much. Color. Yeah, it's dope colors. You get that. I don't know. Something about it. Like that's how I feel about Beatles or Cool Cats. But yeah, if you want, let's do checks updates. By the way, on top of the checks, because obviously we're done with checks, we're on to matches. I'm kidding. But on the matches side, while we were recording, I actually sold those that I was complaining about. They all sold 0.06. Give me a little bag there. But prior update, what do we got?
Yeah. They are holding really well. They had Jack Butcher was just in Paris. He had his first exhibition of the whole checks thing, the whole art exhibit for it. Really interesting stuff. They had the contracts on display, all the different colors and stuff like that, all animated. Seemed to be really well received, and we got a lot of volume coming in while everything else was crashing. They did crash a lot and then recovered very strongly. So they're back up to 1.3 or something like that on the originals, and like high twos on the VV.
I feel like Blur's definitely like a curse and a blessing.
It provides what it's supposed to do.
It's doing its thing, but
providing liquidity for people to trade and have deep books, but it's at the expense of these are small collection of assets, and you've actually found out the real floor price of what these things are.
What I was going to say. This actually allows us to truly understand what that floor price is and where people feel comfortable being at and like what they're wanting to offer for it. In a good way, obviously, but it's something new. So the NFT space takes it as Blur like really wrecked us here or whatnot.
I think it is a short-term win for them. It's not like a long-term win for them for sure. You're promoting wash trading. You're promoting stuff that's not even legal from a standpoint of a company, right? That's something that's people that are wash trading is in the if you're in the US, that's illegal. If you buy an asset and rebuy it, it's not been a month, it's wash trading. They made it 3 hours. You couldn't trade it for 3 hours. Now they reduced it to 1 hour. So they're definitely not going the route of
the opposite,
giving a shit.
They're like, hey, listen, hey, you signed that you're not a US person, so you're going to be fine. Good. They're fine. You're not.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I do think that, it's finding out what the real liquidity is. We would never, ever in a million years until this happened recently, someone dumped 76 apes into a bids blur. So that was $9.1 million worth of liquidity that probably would have never happened unless there was something like Blur. So I do think that essentially it does give liquidity, but again, we've seen a lot of negatives on both sides because, it's people for liquidity, but again, why are we here? It's for the artwork. People that are all complaining about that, these aren't just reduced it's just shit coins with pictures, which is what it's become.
Pretty much. No. Yeah. That's where we're at right now. We're not even doing NFT events anymore. So you can't sell me on anything else other than that at the moment. What are you going to buy?
Everyone's canceling all their events.
Everyone's canceling their events. You're going to sell me another freaking hoodie? Like, I don't want another hoodie. I already have enough. I have a damn highlighter right now.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I do like actually like that color, but
it's actually nice. Actually nice. Not gonna lie. Cool. Had a lot of good compliments. The pants though, little aggressive.
Yeah, the pants are gonna be way too much. The shirt, yeah, I can definitely see.
The shirt and I can grab like the nice jeans or something. I'm ready to go. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the beanie's nice as well.
Isn't the same color too?
No, it's orange actually. So orange, nice, okay, nice, yeah. Orange. Nice orange color. But that, yeah, that pretty much wraps it up on that side. I did want to go on to the nerd side, Cryer, for just a second. We have an update on the Marvel side, and I just had to come out and say it. So Cryer, on your side, you've watched The Walking Dead. What was your favorite character on The Walking Dead? Say it. There's only one right answer. Two right answers. There's two right answers.
The redheaded guy. I don't remember.
The biker?
Is that the redheaded guy?
Is
I haven't watched it in like... I didn't watch all of it. I only watched two seasons.
Come on. It can be, all right. In the first two seasons, there's the biker guy, Daryl. Everyone likes Daryl. All right. Okay. That's the one right answer. But the other one, come on. Give me the other one.
I don't even guy, know the other.
Glenn.
Who is that?
The Asian guy?
Okay, yeah.
You remember him? All right, yeah. All right, whatever. Yeah. All right, great.
I wasn't a big follower on that one. I only
watched it's fine. Like, it's fine. Seasons, like, so, 10 years ago. Good actor. His name is Steven Yeun, if I'm Y-E-O-N, if I'm not mistaken. Steven Yeun?
Yeun.
He's probably also the voice of Invincible in the show Invincible. Invincible, the anime.
Yeah, the
show.
Comic one.
Yeah, the comic one. Okay. So, on Amazon Prime, by the way, at the end of this year, cannot wait. That show is so good. But Steven Yeun. Let's go with Steven. He is now joining the MCU in a secret role on the Thunderbolts. And everyone is saying that it could be Sentry coming into the MCU. For the people that don't know who Sentry is, please go on Google and look at this character. He is literally, he's pretty much as powerful as any other superhero, like Thor level power. But the thing is that he has an alter ego inside him called Void that comes out and literally just murders everyone. So he has to battle with being good and bad. And if this is the character that people say is coming in, they're getting Steven Yeun, whatever your name is, on the show, on the MCU to do this.
Big moves.
I can't wait. I can't wait. But that pretty much wraps it up for us. We've been going too long. We have to end the show, and I still don't know how to end it. So I'm going to try one more time. Cryer. Yeah, I have nothing. For the people at home, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Nerd FT Radio. We'll still keep building the metaverse brick by brick. Nope, that's not it. Peace.
I still got 80 of these bricks.
Ooh, you got a lot of bricks, so we can help build.
We can build a little bit.
We can build. All right, guys. Peace. Catch you guys later. Peace.